Wow. Wow. How good is that? You ever thought that? You ever looked at creation? Whether it's something tiny, a spider on its web, and the dew is just... Some of you are scared of spiders, sorry. You look, the detail of a rose as the bud just opens, and the beauty of the petals and the colour. Wow. Possibly even today. You've looked out across the sky, maybe you've driven home by the coastal road, I don't know, and you just, wow. Maybe you can remember being on spots high up, and you've looked down over perhaps lakes, perhaps even other mountains, you've looked down and you thought, wow. Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. He's not here marveling at creation. He's marveling at creation's God. Wow. Two reasons that he delights in creation's Lord. Firstly, his ways. How God works. Verse 2. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength. Does that make sense to you? It shouldn't. How can anybody gain strength from children? Because of your enemies. How is it possible that what children say strengthens someone in the face of their enemy? That just doesn't make sense, does it? That they may be silenced, they may be put still, put at rest, shut up, as they oppose you, the enemy and the avenger. Does that make sense to you? And Jesus walks into Jerusalem, the last week of his life. Palm Sunday it's called, because the crowds put palm leaves on the road, and they waved them as he rode a donkey in through Jerusalem, and they sang words stolen from the Psalms to say that Jesus was the one they were waiting for. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David. And the religious rulers of the days said to Jesus, tell them to be quiet. Do you hear what they're saying? They're saying that you are the Messiah, the one. And Jesus quotes verse 2 at them. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants. You have perfected strength, it says in Matthew 21, to silence the enemies. And Jesus is saying, I receive their praise. And I reject your rejection. You are the enemy, religious rulers of the day, if you do not receive me. And what these children do in copying their parents is honor me rightly. Now does it make sense? Well, you have to marvel at a God who's able to take what children say and reject what leaders say, don't you? But David, wow, that's how you work. We listen to adults, don't we? What they say matter more. What children say matters, but not as much. Who are the authorities? It's the teachers, not the students. Isn't it? But God does things differently. He ordains strength from the mouths of children. My mind is still stuck on the Samaritan, or the lady by the well in John's Gospel. the same principle applies. Someone who is rejected by society, scorned by her contemporaries, is raised up in mercy by Jesus. And what she does is effectively speak as one who's received from God. And out of her mouth come the whole town, and they come to know Jesus Christ. It's the ways of God that David is marveling at, verse 2. But it's also the work of God that David is marveling at, delighting in, verse 3. When I consider your heavens, when I consider what you have done out there, what you have created and made, and just to make us feel small, he says, the work of your fingers. Not the work of your factory, the work of your fingers. Just delicacy, intricacy, wonder. But it's your fingers that have done it. When I consider these things, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, you set in place. He's marveling, he's wowing at God because of what he has done, what he has made. There is a connection between what God has made and the God who has made it. We're supposed to see creation and see above creation to God. And I would encourage you, Christian, as you get older in the faith, not older with grey hair and frail bodies, but older in the faith, you should appreciate creation more and more and more. Because behind creation is your God. Behind the beauty of it all, the glory of it all, the delicacy of how things are made is your God. So whether you're scared of spiders, look at other things. But if you're not scared of spiders, enjoy the creatures that you see. Enjoy the flowers. Enjoy the sunsets. Enjoy them. Your God has put them in place. I would like to say enjoy the stars, but you've no chance of it to me. Too much light pollution. But if you get, I love what God has put in place. Allow yourself to marvel. There is delight in creation's Lord. But the observing from verse 3 of what God has made with his fingers causes David not just to delight, but also to despair. Have you had that experience? You've been on a plane, and as you take off, you realise that the airport that seems so big suddenly seems so small. And the town or the city that you're leaving, and the lights all just sort of blur into one little dot. And the houses that seem to sprawl so much suddenly become so, so small. And as you fly over nations and seas, you realize just how small we are. The story of an astronaut, one of the first astronauts in space. And as he looked back towards the Earth, he was that far away, he could do that with his thumb and block out his view of the Earth. And he comments, it didn't make him feel big. It made him feel very, very small. And so it should. When we consider the heavens, there's a God behind it, but we also consider the scale of what he's done. And we're supposed to ask the question, who are we? Who are we? We should be in this creation and yet so small in comparison to the glory of it. And so we ask the question in verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit or care, tend to him? That's a genuine question. Who are you? We were thinking this morning about where we anchor our identity, weren't we? Whether it's in the view of what other people think of us or what we think of ourselves, or whether we anchor it in what God thinks of us. Well, here's the answer about what God thinks of us. Who are you? A most important question. Verse 5 through to verse 8. After the delight and after the despair, this psalmist David records the dignity given to man, Creator's gift. You have made him who is so small in comparison to everything you've made, just one part of a beautiful, wonderful creation, you've made him a little lower than the angels or the heavenly beings. There is a position of dignity given by God to us as human beings. You've crowned him with glory and honor. I can understand God crowning the sunset or the sunrise with glory and honor. But knowing the darkness of my own heart and getting to know people, why would he do that? You've made him a little lower than the angels. There are three things just in this part, this dignity I want us to think about. The first one is simply this: there is dignity despite our size. Okay? There's dignity despite our size. We are small, you know that, don't you? You look at a picture of the world and think, how many million people? How great the world is, how great the universe is. Wow. And yet, there is definite dignity given to the human beings. The dignity is, we're crowned with glory and honor. Who am I is a question that many people ask. Many of them are told they are a few billion years on than a monkey. And many people believe it. Just the next step in a process that takes a long, long time. And then we wonder why people treat each other like animals. But God has a wonderful message of hope. There is a dignity given to man, every man, male and female. There is a dignity given to everyone. There's a dignity despite our size. Note as well, and this is important in today's climate, there is a difference between man and the rest of creation. I'm talking about living beings now. You see that? Verse 6. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands, and you've put all things under his feet. And then there's a list there, verse 7 and 8. Sheep, oxen, beasts of the field, birds of the air, the fish of the sea, as they pass through the paths of the sea. In other words, every animal on this earth and human beings are different. Watching a clip for a new series that Mr. Attenborough will be running on our television programs. He's going to link the fossils he finds and explain how we got from there to here. That's what he said. That's what he said. I commend his programs to you, but not as commentary. Because if he's linking fossils of animals to you and I, he's wrong. And if our world holds on to that as true, they're being fed lies that are deadly dangerous and desperately hopeless. Our God has made you and I different from the animals, different from the rest of creation. We are crowned with glory and honor, and as wonderful as all the animals are, they are not crowned with the same glory and honor. We are different. Now, I know that's a simple statement to make. So important. Can I encourage you? Whether you have children or grandchildren or not, can I plead with you to pray for the children that you know, whether they're in this church or elsewhere? Because the stuff that gets bombarded at them at school, even Christian schools sometimes, Church of England schools, it's incredible. The conversations they have with classmates, conversations they have with teachers, are undermining God's word. Pray for them. Pray for their Sunday school teachers. Pray for their parents and grandparents. That the truth of God's word would stand clear. There's dignity despite the size. There's difference from the creatures. And there's this delegated role. God has given us a role to fulfill. We're not just different from the animals, but we have dominion, verse 6. We have dominion over them. Now, the difficulty with dominion sounds harsh and cruel, but that's not dominion. That's oppression. Dominion cares for, tends, oversees, looks to see flourishing. That's what dominion is. With authority. So there's dignity despite our size, there's a difference from the creatures, and there's a delegated role from God to us. That's where the dignity to man is given. We have a problem then, don't we? Because you and I come from spoiled stock. Our first parents changed things dramatically. They were told what the boundaries are. A wonderful gift from God. Garden of Eden to tend. This is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the one tree you may not eat of. And they eat. And the relationship between God and them and each other changes. And if you were to dip a bucket in muddy seawater, filthy, so you can't even see where the bottom, if you were to dip that up, every bucket that you dip would have the same stuff in it. And from Adam and Eve, we have the same rebellion against God in us. We're made with dignity, we're spoiled by sin. We're supposed to have dominion over the works of God's hands. We can't even look after ourselves. And those who think that there's merit in evolutionary ideas come undone when you ask them about the progress of human civilization against the number of wars we had in the last 100 years. We can't even look after ourselves. We can't, as a people, we can't stop killing each other. We fall out and we go to war. What a mess. And yet God says we're supposed to have dominion over the works of his hands. The whole lot we're supposed to look after. What a mess. God is not finished. And how he's inspired David to write these words. And then years later, live them out. That's a wow, isn't it? But these words, verse 5, you've made him a little lower than the angels, you've crowned him with glory and honour. They're applied theologically to you and I. It's theologically, we're given this position, we've made a mess of it, we've given that position. But they're applied historically to one man, the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians 15, in Ephesians 1, which is what I read to you at the start of the service, and in Hebrews 2, three places, this verse, verse 5, is taken and laid at the feet of Jesus Christ to say, look, look who God has crowned with glory and honour. Look who is set just a little below the angels. Now you might be thinking, well, hang on a second. Jesus is far greater than the angels. How is he set a little bit lower? But he's set a little bit lower, as Hebrews explains. Because he's come, verse 9, if you have that sheet in front of you, it's Hebrews 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, temporarily made lower than the angels that he might die in our place. Because as a dominion holders over the earth of God's great creation, we have failed. And he comes to live our life perfectly, to die our death, that he might be given glory and honour. Therefore, you and I can have hope. Because what is true of Jesus, that he is given glory and honour, what is true of Jesus, he has conquered in his death the sickness that has spoiled this world, your sin and mine. He shares that victory with all and any who will trust in him. Which means, while this is not true of you, because for all the effort you have of having good dominion over the works of God's hands, you will fail. You can't do it. You will not do it. You need Christ to do it. How God inspired David to write words that are fulfilled only in Jesus Christ, I do not know. But we find in Jesus Christ the one that we cannot be, the one who is a little lower than the angels, the one who is crowned with glory and honour for us, so that we may be set right with God. And can I suggest that verse 9 is taken as a response of holding the teaching of Scripture together? Yet, David was writing about his observation of creation, the ways of God in using infants to ordain strength, in the works of God and the beauty of what he sees and the God behind creation. He was writing that about that, but it applies, Christian, to you. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. We could not be the right holders of dominion over your creation, but you sorted that out at great cost and in great wisdom. And through the gospel, crown us with glory and honour. What Jesus Christ has accomplished, he shares with us. Have you ever marveled? Have you ever marveled at God's creation? I trust you have. Have you ever marveled at your sickness through sin? You find yourself repulsed by what's within, glad that people do not know and cannot see. I trust we grow in that. Have you ever marveled at how complete God has dealt with you through Jesus Christ? He's not just a representative head. He is your brother. He is the one you are joined to for all eternity. He shares everything that he has with people like us. Wow. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Shall we pray? We confess that we've lost the art of marveling, Almighty God, of appreciating, of delighting. Father, by your Holy Spirit, by the truth of your words, by the refreshment that comes from meeting together, may we, even this evening, be called by your grace and love to marvel again at you and all you have done. We do pray for our children growing up in a land, in a culture that despises your word, mocks the idea that before there was anything, there was a God. We pray for them. May they hold on to your truth, trusting you, even if it means being mocked at. And we pray for ourselves, Almighty God. We would know the joy, the delight of being raised up with Jesus Christ. The anticipation of that. May it stir us to live for you. Chase away coldness of heart. Shame us. And call us into living for you, we pray. Amen.